This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Across Australia, on the Community Radio Network, to over 70 community radio stations around the nation. This is Word for Word, coming to you from Australia's first gay and lesbian radio station, Melbourne's Joy 94.9.
Hello and welcome to Word for Word. Dean Beck with you today. Thank you very much for joining me on what is actually a very special occasion. This program goes around Australia via the Community Radio Network from the Joy Studios here in Melbourne. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station that is committed to providing a voice for the diverse lesbian and gay communities, enabling freedom of expression, the breakdown of isolation, and the celebration of our culture, achievements, and pride. For 20 years, Joy has been doing that, and this is the beginning of our 20th anniversary celebrations here at Joy. It's a very special occasion for a number of reasons, not the least of which our guest today represents. You see, over the years, Joy 94.9 has evolved, not just to be the voice of gay and lesbians, but a much broader community. You often hear the term LGBTI, standing for lesbians, gays, bisexuals, transgender, and intersex people. It's this vast array of individuals that Joy hopes to represent in the future. Our broadcast license says that we have to deliver on being the voice of gay and lesbian people in Melbourne. But as I said, we do a much broader service to the community. Recently, one of Joy's volunteers and a board member decided to come out, and come out she did. It is my great pleasure to welcome Sammy Cameron to Word for Word.
Thank you, Dean. I'm pleased to be here today.
Sammy, you have been at Joy for how long now?
Oh, look, I think I've been presenting on Joy for over a year. I think September last year was when I first started doing regular daytime shows.
And you came to the station in a blaze of glory, and I mean that in reference to your hair. Your signature style is this flaming red hair. And you came, to my understanding, as one of the dykes on bikes.
That's right, a lesbian woman.
But your coming out was a little different to that recently. You came out as trans.
That's correct.
Why did you want to do that? Because for many of us here, it took us by surprise, myself included.
Look, I think it's complicated. There's probably lots of reasons. My profile at Joy has been increasing now that I'm on the board. I'm a regular presenter, and there's things that I would like to raise and talk about, and by not being out as transgender, I really didn't have a voice. I was gagged, I suppose, in being able to talk about issues over time. Maybe not right now, but issues over time that I want to raise. And I couldn't really do that as a cisgender person.
Let's have a listen to how Sammy Cameron came out to Joy 94.9 recently.
Just put your paws up, because you were born this way, baby.
My worst kept secret, yes, I am transgender. In technical terms, my gender, gender identity, gender presentation and gender role is female, but my original biological sex is male. My sexual orientation is female, so I identify as lesbian, although I'm starting to use queer to identify myself more often. And with that comes a whole bunch of anxieties, most of which are unfounded, but that my brain refuses to be rational about. I like to get to know people well before I decide whether I'm going to tell them this thing about me. I really want people to assess my suitableness as a human being based on what you see and not on the fact that I'm trans. And whilst it is my right and my right only to decide whether someone should know this about me or not, this right has been taken away from me by countless others. Yes, maybe it's kind of cool knowing a trans chick, trans dyke, trans woman, etc. But as my public profile increases, it is just getting too difficult to limit who knows this about me. So if you didn't know or weren't sure, now you do. Some anxieties just won't go away. My previous name shall not be seen, spoken, written, said, or heard. Being misgendered, using the wrong pronouns, especially by people who knew the old me, is insulting and awful, and any discussion of medical stuff that may or may not have happened to me is out of order, unless I say so. My kids have lost their dad, and I'm not their mum. The older two decided that loss should be permanent, but my youngest one has decided that life will be more interesting having Sammy in her life, and I think she is a greater person for that. I feel really loved and accepted everywhere I go, and by almost all the people I come across. The fact that I have passing privilege really does make my life much easier and simpler than those that don't. Being short was just luck, I guess. My crazy, red-haired decoy works a treat, and hormones have had a dramatic effect on my body and soul. I'm lucky to have lived two successful lives and have gained considerable life skills from both of them. My biological family has always been a problem in one way or other for me. From the youngest age I can remember, I feel that they should be proud of my achievements, my social conscience, and my willingness to actually go through with my transition. I think they've missed out on something pretty awesome. In the end, it is mainly their loss. I've moved on, and whilst I occasionally feel resentment towards them, I am the happiest of all of them, so I win. I want to inspire others. I want to show that when you want or need something really badly, that you can do anything at all. It might take persistence, experience, time, planning, strategy, hard work, energy, an understanding of how people think, mentors, role models, research, loss, and many other things. But in the end, when you achieve what you set out to do, your life and the life of others you touch can be much more rewarding than you could ever imagine. It was decided for me by others that I wouldn't make a good trans activist. There are many good people doing this. I will only ask you to keep in mind that every single trans person that you come across is different in almost every way, so generalizing is almost impossible. Trans people are each sensitive about things unique to them. You now know mine, so take note that you don't breach these if you don't want me to bluntly confront you on them. Now I'd like to ask you to forget that you heard this. I'm not Sammy the trans chick. I'm Sammy the queer woman with the bright red hair, a good person leading a wild, interesting, very full and happy life. There is a huge amount of information available if you'd like to educate yourself on some more issues.
That is how Sammy Cameron told the world
she was trans. It's very special. Tough, no doubt.
You were very strategic about doing this.
Yes, I was. I've spent quite some time thinking about it and planning it.
Does that have... does it mean it has a lesser effect, or is it? Does it have more impact, the strategy behind it, do you think?
I think the strategy has a significant impact. I felt somewhat unempowered by not being able to talk freely about this.
Is part of that about being your authentic self?
Well, I am my authentic self. I am my authentic self all the time. In fact, authenticity is actually one of the most wonderful things about deciding to tell the world that you're transgender and then just executing it. Strategy is something, as you heard about my list of items, there's a lot of work.
And there's a few of them.
And that was the short list, you know, because I only had a few minutes to talk about it. But I think that strategy and planning is one of the most important parts about successfully transitioning.
In fact, it is about safety. It's about doing it well, there's a medical strategy as well. There's a psychological strategy, and then there's the personal strategy.
You know, I have a long commercial history with business, and so risk management is an important element of this.
So tell us about that before we get to your family. You said in that little piece that you've got two successful lives.
Yeah.
Both of those in the business world. How do you do that?
My first life was successful in the business world, and my second life has been successful in happiness and discovering happiness.
Okay.
So I was very successful as far as, I suppose, in an aspirational sense. You know, we go off and we buy a house, we have a career, we get married, we have children, you know, two cars and a dog and a cat and all of that sort of stuff.
Ticked all those boxes.
Ticked all those boxes and was you know...
Bloody miserable.
Totally and utterly depressed. At the end of all of that,
right.
You know, it didn't actually make me happy. And, you know, the feeling of being trans, of being a woman, has something that's basically been in my mind as far back as my memory goes. It's not a new thing for me at all.
So when you say as far back, do you remember as a kid just feeling disconnected to your gender?
Look, I mean, I always talk about, I remember back to about 10 years old, and it's very clear there was some pretty significant life events happened to me when I was about that age. So I remember quite a lot of detail at that time. And that's when I first remember lots of things about my life. And I've always had this feeling, and I've always done everything to try to make it go away. You know, I did the whole thing that you're supposed to do. I did what my parents expected me to do. And in the end, I was really unhappy and was faced with a very simple decision.
How did that manifest throughout those years? Were your parents aware of this disconnect?
Not at all.
Right.
Because, you know, I suppose in the times, I think things are different now, but in the times, this is not the sort of thing you'd ever want to disclose to anybody. So you hide it and you become an expert in deception, in deceiving yourself and deceiving others about how you feel. And you're not authentic. And I think that's part of the disconnect that your brain actually has to deal with. And again, you do all the things you're supposed to do and you end up just dramatically unhappy. And you say, look, there's only one other thing left in this world that I really have always felt that I should do. It was actually a very simple decision at the end. I hit rock bottom as anybody gets.
So let's explore that, because whether it's transitioning from being a drug addict to a point of recovery or an alcoholic to sober, it's often said you've got to hit rock bottom before you can truly own the new you moving forward. What did your rock bottom look like?
Look, I had lots of stuff around me and people around me, and I was uninterested in all of those things. You know, when I made this decision, I had to I said to myself, because I didn't think that I was going to get acceptance at all. And I said, I'm prepared to lose everything.
You've got to be, surely.
Absolutely everything. Every single person that I know in my life, every single article of material possessions that I have, where I live, what country I live in, every single thing you can possibly think of, I was prepared to lose all of it.
That's huge.
It is huge. It took me 44 years to make this decision.
What's the hardest thing to lose?
I actually only gained. I don't think I really lost much at all.
How many kids did you have?
I've got three children.
And two of those you alluded to having lost.
Yeah.
But, is that hard?
Well, another one of the decisions or one of the thoughts that I had was that would I prefer to be dead or would I prefer to be alive but never see my children again? And that was a decision that I thought it was better to be alive and not see my children again would be a better option than being dead.
Is part of that because there's the possibility that you will see them?
Well, I did see them for a period of time after I first transitioned. Mm. and I got into some pretty challenging financial trouble, and I couldn't really look after them financially. So, and then after they were no longer living with me, they decided to disconnect. And in fact, I lost my third one as well for about 9 months. And if you want something to cry about, we reconnected again on my birthday in April this year. And she's just a gorgeous, wonderful human being that I'm very proud of. And everybody that ever meets her says she's wonderful.
What does she
gorgeous.
Think of Sammy?
She loves me. She loves me unconditionally.
How old is she?
She's 15.
Far out.
It's a challenging age.
Wow.
But I'm pretty cool. I know this is, you know, I know this is radio and you can't see what I look like, but I've got like, you know, I've got a bunch of metal in my ear. I've got ears. I've got red hair.
I drive a motorbike.
Two motorbikes, you know. I go out, you know, dancing a lot. I have a huge bunch of gorgeous, wonderful friends. I'm on the radio. I do fun stuff. I travel a lot. I'm constantly doing awesome, wonderful things with my life. I have the most amazing experiences all the time, continuously.
And how old are the other two?
My oldest daughter's 20 and my son is 17. And, you know, one of the things that I actually had to do, you know, I was sort of new to the whole queer environment, and one of the things that I saw was the people talking about family values and marriage equality and how we have the haters, the people that don't like me. And I thought to myself, well, I've done no harm to any of those people. I'm actually a good person. I try to do good things to people. So what is this family values thing? So I sat down and decided that I would write down my values. And I wrote down 49 dot points about what my values were. What are the things that that are important to me? And I can't remember all of the items on the list, but the first item on my list was wake up tomorrow. And, you know, it's like it's something that's really important. I've got to wake up tomorrow. Everything I do, no matter what it is, and at all times has got to be to make sure that I live. And I put biological relatives fairly low down the list as being important.
There are some people that would find that hard to hear.
When you look at it all in context and you look at, look at what all those items are, hardly anyone actually comes up with a reasonable argument to say that it's wrong.
How many of those values that you wrote down did you reread and go, actually, that's not the authentic self. That's delivering on the expectation of others, the life that I'm trying to walk away from.
Look, I love my list of values because they still hold. I wrote them quite some time ago and I come back, and every time I go back and reread them to somebody else when I'm sharing things, they still hold water every single time without review.
It's a question I ask because I have been through that process myself, and what you're left with is the real you. You're right.
You discard everything.
Yeah.
To totally discard everything and totally discard what other people think of you.
Or what you think other people want of you.
Which is totally irrelevant. Yeah. I don't, you know, what other people want from us is often just a projection of their own problems onto us. And so I just totally ignored all of that.
My guest is Sammy Cameron. We're discussing her life transitioning and the recent coming out that has rocked this station to a degree, but also I think propelled it into the future in a way. That could not have been done any other way.
Yeah, it's look, this has given me a lot of power in some ways because it means that I can speak about these sorts of things and I can speak about them authoritatively and with experience. I've been researching transgender issues on the internet since 1995. I'm an early adopter of technology and research, and as soon as information sort of started to become available. So, I've got a really good understanding that every single one of us is different. We have some things that are in common, and I've come out of this very happy and positive. And I think that's a really important message that I want to get across to young people who are questioning their gender. That if you have the right attitude, it really doesn't matter what the things are that you lose that people expect of you, that you can still actually come out of this in a positive way. You can actually generate income for yourself. You can generate wonderful support groups of people around you. You can plan the things that you need to do. All of it's really well documented on the internet, all the things that you need to do. You can find help. The medical professionals, living in Melbourne is awesome because we actually have some very competent psychiatrists and other medical people that help you through the journey. Living in the inner city of Melbourne, it's a very progressive city. And, no one really stares at me other than they think that I look cool with my silly bright red hair. And I'm dancing down the street most of the time, even if I don't have headphones on.
I knew you as Sammy, the chick from Dykes on Bikes. Now I know you as Sammy, the chick from Dykes on Bikes, that her sexuality hasn't changed through any of this.
Right, from as far back as I can remember what my sexuality was, I suppose that's something that you developed sort of when you're going through your original teenage puberty. Yeah, it hasn't changed. I've always loved women. That's who I'm sexually attracted to, and it's never changed.
Absolutely. And that, for some, is a difficult thing to get their head around. How can someone's gender change? But it's the difference between gender and sexuality, and we keep talking about that on this station because they are sometimes changeable, often not.
My gender has nothing to do with my sexuality.
Indeed.
They're totally and utterly disconnected from each other.
So, tell me about being accepted as a dyke on bike.
There's the stories that, you know, when you go and look on the internet, you can see a few years ago the stories of, I'll use some labels, like bull dyke, saw really big butch lesbians, beating up transgender women in toilets and those sorts of things. These sort of stories you see in America and those sort of things have happened over the years. So I was very cautious about approaching Dykes on Bikes for fear of what it was I was going to find myself in. Mm. And look, I've been riding motorcycles for many, many, many years, 28 years to be precise, and I've also always loved women, and I thought that was just a great combination. So I wrote an email and I got a lovely response back saying, please join us for a ride. And I was really surprised to get a nice email, and I went for a ride. And
in that original letter, you were up front?
Very up front.
Okay.
Yeah, very up front. And in that letter, I also said something along the lines of, I do not want to be involved in this club if there is a single member that doesn't want me to be there because I'm transgender. So I didn't want a single person to not accept me.
Geez, you don't mind laying it out, do you?
Well, coming out is actually a repeated experience for all of us. So, you know, I think that this is, whilst I've come out in public on air on Joy and shared this on my social media and those kinds of things, it'll be forgotten about. You know, it'll be forgotten about in a period of time, and at some stage in the future, I'll probably have to come out again in whatever the new environment that I find myself in. So we go through different stages, and I was very concerned and worried about my safety when I first approached Dykes on Bikes, and it was totally wrong. So I found being a member of that club actually helped me grow as a lesbian, because I hung around a whole bunch of different lesbians and they told me about the history of things, about what it was like to be a lesbian 10, 20, 30 years ago. They taught me some lessons about feminism that I hadn't actually given any thought to. And it really helped me to, become a lesbian in a rounded sense rather than just the sex part of it. It allowed me to see what other lesbians were like. And of course, when you're a heterosexual male, you don't really get the opportunity to hang around lesbian women very often. So it's not like I'd ever had a lot of experience in being able to do that previously. So as you'd imagine, it was very delightful. And the members of the club fully embraced me, and I feel really, really loved by the members of that club.
That's special.
Look, and I've added a lot of value when it comes to some of the things that we have to deal with and those sorts of things. I'll always analyze the, you know, the minutes and the proposed rules changes.
Because that's what you do.
You know, it's like, well, you know, it's like, that's what you do. It is what you do, you know. You show leadership.
No, I mean, that's what you do.
It is what I do. It is, you know. I want to make the world a little bit of a better place, and I've got something positive to contribute. I will, and I'll open my mouth and talk about it.
We're celebrating 20 years of Joy 94.9, and as I alluded to earlier, in part, you mark a very important time for the organisation in its connection, representation and celebration of diversity. And we're no longer just the gay and lesbian radio station. We are the radio station for the LGBTI, some of which we have greater representation amongst us than others. But in providing a space that is welcoming of that diversity, what do you want to see the station deliver? You're a board member?
Yeah.
You're in control?
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, I like to listen to what other people have to say. The journey at Joy hasn't been, you know, it's always smooth sailing. It never is in any organisation. Transgender people only make up a very tiny percentage of the queer alphabet, and I think that when I talk to other transgender people, they say, you know, I wish Joy would change its, you know, its tagline. You know, it shouldn't be the gay and lesbian radio station, it should be the LGBTIQ radio station. And I answer that question with my board hat on that never gets removed by saying, well, that's what our license says that we actually are. And at some point when we renew our license, when we have to do that, then I think we should be changing exactly what that tagline is. I think that transgender voices are not something that we have had the opportunity of hearing a lot of at Joy in recent times. We were blessed to have a trans show on Joy for quite a long time previously, but there hasn't been that in recent times. But I think that trans people need to put their hand up and say, I want to be on the radio and I want to send a message. And I think that we all have a responsibility, if we don't like something, to go and do something about it ourselves, that it shouldn't be handed to us on a platter. I think merit is a very important part of this.
It's not just merit. From someone who welcomes the opportunity to have these conversations, as difficult and as awkward and as incorrect and politically incorrect as they might be from my perspective sometimes, for which I apologise in advance. But for someone prepared to have those conversations with people, it's not easy to find people prepared to sit on your side of the microphone. Here's a call out to all of you now. If you want to come on and talk about your transition or your life as a trans person, we welcome that opportunity. We would embrace the opportunity to have that conversation with you, because only when we have that conversation can we all learn.
I think it's I think as a trans person, you know that the speed with which the world has changed in the last 5 years, the acceptance of transgender people by the mainstream world has dramatically increased. We've had all sorts of changes happen over the last year with Medicare and the Federal Discrimination Act and other bits and pieces that have happened. We're seeing a lot more coverage on mainstream media. And I think that I'm seeing a lot more transgender people making themselves available for these sorts of things. And I think that we will find that they will want to have their voice, whereas previously perhaps they weren't very comfortable about making their voices available on air.
That's partly because of people like you who are showing the way and leading the way. And for that, we thank you. Sammy Cameron is my guest on Word for Word today, right across Australia on the Community Radio Network. We'll be back to find out more about this extraordinary woman right after this.
Hello, darlings. This is Miriam Margolyes, and you're tuned to Word for Word on Joy 94.9.
Right across Australia on the Community Radio Network, you are with Dean Beck. Today on Word for Word, we celebrate 20 years of community radio station Joy 94.9. And across the radio network, Sammy Cameron, my guest, has come out as trans. She's a board member of this fine station. And as we move into our next 20 years, we're talking about how a gay and lesbian radio station can deliver on diversity. Sammy, we were talking before the break about how embracing diversity is part of Joy's future. It's part of our relevance. I mean, as gays and lesbians become more accepted, how much need is there for a gay and lesbian radio station? So we need to broaden the scope. But you said being a part of this place has not always been easy. How has that been a struggle for you?
Well, I didn't really want anybody to know that I was trans. And
I didn't think anybody did.
Yeah, well, there are people that know. And whenever I chose to out myself to someone, whether it's at Joy or anywhere else, I'd always say to them, please don't tell anybody else, because I want people to assess me on me as a human being and for them not to assess me on being trans. And that's part of the reason why it took so long to tell anyone and to come out at Joy, because I wanted to be successful in my own right without having, interestingly, being able to use my trans privilege. Because now I have trans privilege at Joy because, and interesting, I know this sounds a roundabout the wrong way.
Yeah, no, I want to explore this. Yeah, it's good.
Because, you know, we are a queer environment, LGBTIQ, and there aren't any trans people around here, and I am one, and I'm a competent presenter. I'm on the board, and I've been able to achieve those things without saying that I'm trans.
In rapid time, I might add.
Sure, and so it's... It's nice to have been able to achieve those things, isn't it? Because if I'd said right up front I was trans, well, I feel like I would have been given a bit of a free ticket. I felt
really?
Like
it could have been even harder.
Possibly. I don't know. I wanted to achieve these things at Joy without actually saying I'm trans. I wanted to be able to prove myself.
And you did.
And I've done it. And I'm proud of what I've actually achieved at Joy. And it's it's been an awesome environment. But, you know, coming back to your question about... You know, sometimes I've been outed by one person to another, and it's, you know, without my permission, and that's made me feel really uncomfortable, because now that new person who knows about me may assess me in a different way and think about me in a different way, and I was uncomfortable with that. And I felt that at the end, the only way for me to deal with this was to take control over it myself. And say, well, actually, I'm going to declare this now, mm-hmm. and that gives me the power, it comes back to me, and now... I can use my trans privilege occasionally, and I'll try not to. You know, I'm lucky that I've been in business for a long time, and I know that when you have power, that's best never to use it. That's the best kind of power to have, and never actually use it. But it's there, and occasionally, if we're looking for something that in the gender diversity area, I've got great contacts, and I might be able to put my hand up to assist with other sort, you know, things that come along.
But you become a resource too, that otherwise we don't have.
Sure. Sure, and where I've got time to do things, and if I think it's going to do good things for the people that are listening, then you know, I will get involved in it. But I don't want to use it as a ticket, as such, to give me a free ticket into anything. I still always want to be assessed on who I am as a human being, not the fact that I'm trans.
In the piece that we heard earlier in the program, you said that it was decided by other people that you would not be a good trans activist.
Yeah.
Can you explain for us what you mean by that and why?
Yeah, look, I got involved in some sort of trans kind of community group sorts of things, and I felt very uncomfortable in those. I didn't feel welcome, and, you know, I wanted to get involved in what was going on. I think part of it too was that I was at an early stage of my journey and still trying to sort myself out and those kinds of things. But I really didn't pick up that the body language was very supportive.
Are you suggesting that you wanted to fly the flag earlier than this recent coming out?
Well, I wanted to be involved in some of the community groups. I felt that it was something that I should get involved in the community groups. But at that particular time, I just didn't feel welcome. You know, the body language. And this,
but
you know,
here's the thing. You were welcomed with open arms by Darks on Bikes. I would suggest pretty much similar here at Joy.
Yeah.
We all have our struggles in a community radio station, but if we push through them, we find it very rewarding. Why is it that you received a different level of response from the trans community? Was it that you identified as a dyke or a butch dyke.
No, I don't think that's what it was. And I must say, I was very femme when I first came out. I used to wear dresses and makeup and all those sorts of things, and I've become a bit more butchy, sort of. Although my friends still call me a princess. I just don't wear dresses and makeup anymore. I don't know how to get this across without sounding like I'm putting myself up as something, you know, different and better or whatever, but I'm very positive, happy person. I have passing privilege. That means I can walk down the street and nobody knows. You didn't know until I told you.
I had no idea.
A week ago. A lot of trans women in particular don't have that privilege.
Uh-huh.
And if somebody walks into that environment, they instantly see that there's someone that's walked in that does have that privilege and isn't finding fault in everything and doesn't want to go through the groupthink negativity, and that person's coming in and being positive. It's a bit grating.
That makes sense.
And so I detected that in the body language.
Got it.
And felt that I don't really belong here. And I felt like I had very little in common anyway with the people that were there at that particular time. Yeah. You know, I'm a successful businesswoman. I'm self-sufficient. I didn't really need a lot of the information that they had available or any of those other sorts of things.
And so you fly under the radar.
I fly under the radar. Yeah. And I know that I'm not the only one, as I've been exploring doing the show that I just recently did, and meeting new transgender people that I hadn't come across before, I am finding a massive improvement in the degree of positivity of other transgender people that I come across.
So, do you think that's generational?
Yeah, I do think it could have something to do with that. I think that the older the people who came out earlier have had a much, much more difficult time
Hell
in the
yeah.
world,
yeah.
whereas the people that are coming out now... And I'm not suggesting that's necessarily the age of the person, but it's the time when they came out. Sure. I mean, I'm a bit on the older side, I suppose, but I've only been out for a very short space of time and the world has been wonderful to me. So I haven't had to battle with the sorts of battles that they have had to deal with.
And there are entities like Joy who are happy to embrace that diversity that those entities weren't around before. You know, there weren't those... I guess, external organisations that were a step removed that would embrace that first generation, if you want to call it that.
Yeah, look, and I also think that, you know, one of the interesting things I find, if you've got, when women are trying to play in male spaces, for example, you know, in the business world, those sorts of things, it's very challenging for women to be successful in male-dominated industries. And often men don't really recognize it. It's hard for them to see how they're being difficult for women, and women often have to behave in certain sorts of ways. And I'd say there's perhaps a little bit of a similar thing with transgender people, as they may come into a gay and lesbian primarily environment and perhaps not find it a pleasant experience for whatever reason, and perhaps the gay and lesbian people who are involved in that may not understand why the trans people are finding it tough. So I guess I'm reasonably tough in a resilient sense.
Mm.
And so I've walked in and I've said, well, I'm just going to fly under the radar. I'm just going to be a lesbian because that's what I am, and I'll be successful at that at Joy. And then once I feel confident and feeling like it was necessary for me to do this, it's like, well, I'm actually now going to come out. I've got credibility. People believe what I talk about. I do good things. I'm a happy person. I feel safe coming out as trans, and maybe I can help over time provide influences where it's necessary to encourage other trans people. This is a safe place to come to, and you'll be warmly welcomed to, you know, contribute if you want to, if you want to have your voice.
We're speaking with Sammy Cameron, Joy 94.9 board member. This is going right across Australia on the Community Radio Network. Sammy, the transition itself is one that involves psychology, medical intervention, and hormone replacement. And I've asked this of all of my guests that have been trans, and I want to know the effect of what the hormones did to you. I've only ever spoken to female to male trans, and I want to know your perspective because I'm having a guess that it's a little different.
Okay, well, obviously for each individual, the research I've done on this, for every single person, it is different.
And there are some overarching themes.
Yeah, but there's not even any scientific research that is has enough statistics, and there's no money to be spent on this. So, yeah, with that in mind, I find retrospectively, that testosterone is toxic for my body and my soul and my mind. And I discovered that because I had to come off my hormones at one stage. You know, I get a bit of testosterone back in me, and it was a disgusting, horrible experience. So,
how did that manifest? Angry or aggro?
Well, I started to smell really badly for a start. I lost my... Dean, you can come back to us if you like. That was actually one of the worst problems. I went through some similar to menopause symptoms, which was cold sweats and other horrible things. It was pretty horrible. But I want to talk about the psychology of my brain.
Yeah.
And there is actually some scientific research that supports the argument that there's a different distribution of grey and white cells in our brains, depending on hormones. Mm-hmm. And the estrogen has the effect of increasing the connections between our brains, and the lack of estrogen and increase in testosterone has a, I'll get my whites and greys mixed up, but has the opposite effect. And there's this kind of generalized stuff that says that, well, people will tell me off for this, but there's this general stuff that I've read that says that men are more intelligent, but women are more able to handle complex things. And the really noticeable thing that I noticed was a significant increase in my emotional capacity. And whereas previously I could talk about my emotions and maybe I had five or six of them and I could use a single word, I was now able to have a whole lot of complex emotions that I couldn't even write down in paper to explain to you what they actually were. They required more than sentences. They required paragraphs that I couldn't actually explain. And one of the best one for me was the happiness one, was always switched on. And I could have other emotions at the same time. The anger, the rage that the male brain can have, I call it rage rather than anger, mm-hmm. is something that never comes to me anymore. When I get angry, I actually get smart and intelligent. I do cunning, funny things. I'm glad I got those words right. I don't rage. I don't get hot under the collar or anything like that anymore. It's softened me in some ways. And I seem to be able to turn these emotions on and off at will. It's like I've got a bunch of levers in my head that go between 0 and 100, and I can say, right, well, let's just keep that happiness one at 100.
Would you describe that as a broader sense of emotional intelligence?
Yes, I think that's probably not a bad way of a bad word to use it. And often when I talk to men about this subsequently to, you know, my hormones really kicking in really nicely, and I talk to them about emotions. And, I mean, different men would give me different responses to this, but I'd often say to them, you know, tell me about your emotions, and I'd list five or six words, and that would be it for them. And it sort of confirmed to me that the wiring of my brain has actually substantially changed, and I really love it. It's something that I really, really enjoy.
When I've spoken to female to male trans about the onset of testosterone, similarly, they have described the wonderful connection of fire and sexuality and inner strength that they've felt from the testosterone. You've described the exact reverse, equally as beautiful.
You know, interesting. You know, libido is something that does reduce with a lack of testosterone. And it's not something I miss, because being trans to me is not about sex. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of cool.
How has that emotional intelligence formed your new success in business? Because I can imagine it's a very different drive that is behind your business savvy.
You know, I do give some consideration to what are the sorts of jobs that I do. My politics have swung quite a lot further left than they used to. I now have a whole lot of friends, mostly women, in my network that I never would have had. I had male colleagues, people I used to work with in business, but now I have female friends, and I have a lot of them, and I have very warm relationships with many, many of my friends. I feel like I've got a whole lot of close relationships. And it's completely different how I network with people, how I communicate. I never used to use social media previously to keep in touch with people. It was just email, whereas now social media is my primary means of communication. And we set up groups on social media to communicate and organize events and all sorts of things. That's how we keep in touch. Maybe that's a little bit of a function of how technology has moved, but I do feel that women, we communicate with each other in a different kind of way than men do. It's a more of a network than I think that...
There's often said to be that network of bitchiness amongst women too. Have you experienced that?
Yeah, we don't always... get along. You know, bitchiness, I don't know so much whether I've experienced too much of the bitchiness, but you do find yourself in situations where you... perhaps a member of a large group and that group splits somewhere along the line, and then you got to kind of pick sides. that does kind of happen, and these groups do keep, they're very fluid.
Sammy, your recent coming out is still new. How much of a weight has been lifted from your shoulders in doing this?
I don't know whether enough time has elapsed to analyze that at this stage. I think there's been a big, working up to this particular point in time. I think that I will sit back and see what sort of opportunities result, whether anything at all changes about my life at all. You know, I'm sitting here talking with you. That's a new thing that's happened. Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I mean, this will all be forgotten about it in some period of time, as we talked about before. I'll have to come out again at some point in time in the future in some new kind of thing that I end up finding myself in. But yeah, I don't know. I've done this as much for myself to remove that unempowerment that I had. So I think I'll be able to talk about some of these sorts of issues. But I've also done it for other people. I think visibility, trans visibility, is important. It's very, very important that other trans people or people who have gender, thinking that they may be gender diverse, can see that there's all sorts of different people that are trans. And I'm just a different kind of person from everybody else. So hopefully someone will see that and that'll make them feel good about themselves.
Well, we are honoured that you have chosen this program to give us a little bit more information about your personal transition and to be so frank and open with us. I can only thank you.
Thank you so much for giving me the time to talk to you today.
Joy 94.9 celebrates 20 years. And that's why we do it. There will be a podcast of this interview available for download from Joy's website, joy.org.au. If you would like to correspond with the program, we would love to hear from you. Send us an email, wordforword@joy.org.au. My name's Dean Beck. You can follow me on Twitter at Dean Beck on Air. Till next time, keep well. Take care. Bye-bye.
Word for Word is produced by Robert Brierley and presented by Dean Beck from Australia's first gay and lesbian radio station, Melbourne's Joy 94.9. Word for Word is made possible thanks to funding provided by the Community Broadcasting Foundation and is distributed nationally to over 70 radio stations in the Community Radio Network.
Find out more about Joy 94.9. Check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.